It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, brought to you by Dr. Randy Walker, Simple Simons, Ayers Cleaners, and Leopard Care Clinic, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're here with a special episode of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. We've got Hogville's Otis Kirk, the guru of Arkansas Razorback recruiting and all things football related. And Otis, just glad to have you here again. We've had you before, and just a pleasure for you to be here with us. And we're looking forward to you imparting all kinds of wisdom to us.
I don't know about that, but thank you for having me. It's always good to be down at the Queen, home of my bulldog and you know, my boss. And it's good to be here. And great. You know, Jacob and those guys are all really good to me, and I love coming down here.
Well, I know you're from this part of the state.
Yeah, so. Mena. So yeah. The Mena and the Queen were a big rival when I lived in Mena, and you know, and my son's first catch, my middle son's first catch was in the 10th as a high school player, was in the 10th grade. And he caught the winning touchdown pass against the Queen over in the end zone here at the Queen. So yes. Well, sophomore, so first pass they threw to him, and it was a winning touchdown. So, yeah, but yeah, it's good. And the Queen were pretty good back then, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. They were competitive back then. I mean, the leagues have changed and stuff. So, but yeah, it was a pretty competitive series back then.
Yeah, you said. I mean, you know, when I played for the Queen, I mean, we played Mena every year, and always a close, hard fought game.
Yeah.
Mena was really good back then, and you know, a lot of good memories from there. But today we're more going to talk about recruiting and hog recruiting. And but to start it off, you know, we got to talk about the Tennessee win Saturday. And what do you think that means to Razorback football going forward?
Well, I think it gives them a lot of credibility, and not just locally but nationally. I think that woke people up. I've said all year this is a very good football team. I picked them to win 8 games in preseason. And people scoffed. They scoffed at that, but I thought all along this is a really good football team, and I think that confirmed. You know, honestly, they're 2 plays away from being 6-0. Right? They should be 5-1 and could be 6-0. I think had they not fumbled the 10-yard line against A&M, they would have won that game. But you could take away one of about 20 plays at Oklahoma State, and they would have won that. That's the game they should have never lost. Oklahoma State was 16th at the time, and I said they're not that good. Arkansas should beat them by 2 touchdowns, and they should have. But that's the game that's going to haunt them. But they could be 5-1 and could be 6-0. But I think had they not fumbled the 10-yard line against A&M, they would have won that game. But to answer your question, I think what Tennessee does is shows that Arkansas can win the close game. It gave them – I mean, they were number 4 in the country. Mm-hmm. It gives them national respect. Yeah. And I think it showed people today, this is a pretty good Arkansas football team. You know, I think right now Sam probably has the best set of coordinators – as good as anybody in the country, Bobby Petrino and Travis Williams. Those are crackerjack coordinators. I mean, those are guys you can lean on. Mm-hmm. And Bobby is somebody that Sam needs head coaching experience and situation. He didn't have that last year after Barry Odom left. He didn't have someone to lean on. He's got Bobby now, who's an even big upgrade over Barry Odom. And because Bobby's one of the most successful coaches in the business. And so when he talks, you can let, you know, I knew when Jerry and I were talking about this on the way, Jerry Meadows and I were talking about this on the way down this morning. I said, when I really caught, what caught my attention about Travis Williams, when in preseason we asked Bobby Petrino what he thought about Travis Williams, he said, he's a guy that makes you do things you don't want to do as an offensive coordinator. When Bobby says that, you listen, because that guy's good. He usually dictates to the defense what they're going to do. But he said Travis will make you do things you don't want to do. And Bobby doesn't hand that out very – compliments like that very – but that Tennessee game, I think it showed people nationally that, hey, this team's not a joke. It's not a fluke. They're not – a one-hit wonder, you know. I mean, they're not – yeah, but I think now people see what I was saying when I said they should have never lost to Oklahoma State and could have beaten A&M. Yeah. But A&M really put it on Missouri. A&M showed they're a better team than people thought they were. And
Yeah, interesting weekend in SEC.
Oh, it was
for sure.
A lot. Vanderbilt, who had Vanderbilt beating Alabama, you know? So
nobody, I mean, including the Vanderbilt team.
Yeah. So. My deal, I didn't really think that was that bigger upset when Arkansas beat. Jerry was the only one at the Hogville of the six pickers that picked Arkansas, but I almost did. I don't think it's an upset. I think Arkansas played. What I've said was, if Arkansas played a clean game, no turnovers, limit the penalties, no turnover, they can beat anybody in the country. And they did Saturday night. They had no turnovers. And, you know, that they had three against Oklahoma State and three against A&M. You know, you eliminate those turnovers, it makes teams beat you.
Yeah.
Instead of you beating yourself. And that's what Arkansas did against those teams, beat themselves, especially Oklahoma State. I keep going back to that game. That was a game they should have never lost. They should be 5-1 right now. And, you know, and I can make a case for 6-0, but there's no doubt in my mind they should be 5-1 right now.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things I think that happened Saturday night is they learned how to win a close game. They've been in a lot of close games, and they've lost them.
Yeah.
And against a good team, they learned. You know, what the thing about it that gets me is every year when I look at the schedule, I was looking at Texas's schedule for the remainder of the year. And they don't really play anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they got Georgia. I'm not saying – I mean, they do have some tough games. Right. But I don't mean they don't play anybody. But, I mean, when you look at their schedule compared to ours, you know, we got LSU. We got go to Mississippi State. Then we got Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. Then we got Missouri. You know, I mean, you're talking about teams that are in the top 15 in the country.
Yeah.
And
Missouri's got a softer schedule than Texas. Missouri.
Yeah.
Missouri has a soft schedule, but they got exposed Saturday. And I, here's the deal. You know, for everybody that said there was no way they'd win eight games when I picked to win eight, those people got to get a little nervous right now, because you figure Mississippi State and Louisiana Tech are going to be wins. That gets you to six. See, I think they'll beat LSU. That gets you to seven. I think they'll beat Ole Miss. That gets you to eight. And Missouri's not nearly. There was two teams when I filled this out the first of the season, two teams that we had wrong was Tennessee. I had Arkansas beating Tennessee, but I didn't think Tennessee would be that good. And I thought Missouri would be a lot better than they are.
Yeah.
And so they've got a chance. If they've got a chance here, well, they've obviously got a chance to finish 10-2, but they've got a legit chance to go 9-3 if they can figure out a way to beat Missouri. But they got to take – it's a game every week. If they go out there and have three or four turnovers, any of these teams can beat them. So it's not like they're good enough to just line up and say, you know, they're going to be – but if they play a clean game, they can beat anybody, and that includes Texas left on this schedule. But, yeah, Arkansas's got a tough schedule. They'll have to play well. But I think you hit it when you said they won a close game. That's been the Achilles heel. The one-score games – their record's not good under Sam, and they figure. And the big thing about Saturday night, they faced adversity. Mm-hmm. They got down 14-3. Taylen Green gets hurt. You've got Malachi Singleton coming in the game. Who'd ever thought Malachi Singleton and Braylon Russell were going to be the heroes of that game? You know, two backup young guys, and they, you know, now. You know, and I've said all along, Braylon needs more carries, man. He just needs to get that big. He didn't carry the ball a single time against Oklahoma State. So that's just kind of, you know, another thing about that game. But you'd love when it was 4th-and-1 instead of Rodney Hill to see Braylon Russell getting that carry.
Yeah.
To me, that's coaching. But, you know, I think Sam made a mistake, or Bobby, whoever it was, or Kobe Smith, or, you know, whoever made the decision to run Rodney Hill on 4th-and-1 instead of Braylon. I don't know about that, but whatever. I mean, hindsight's always 20/20. But yeah, I think the biggest thing was they faced adversity Saturday night, and they won it. And one score game, and I think that's really big. And I think that will pay off, because, as you said, they've got a brutal schedule. I don't know how tough how tough Mississippi State and Louisiana Tech are. But you throw those two out, and it's going to be tough. But the biggest thing is right now. One thing that's not really getting talked about as much as it probably should is Arkansas figured out a way to win in Fayetteville, because last year they were brutal on that field. Mm-hmm. And this year they beat UAB. They struggled some. People think, here we go again. But they played a really good game, beat a very good Tennessee team. And I think they've got this thing figured out. And when you look at the schedules, Missouri and Auburn played their first five games at home. They didn't travel. That means the second half of the season, they're going to be on the road a lot. And Missouri's going to find out what the road life is like. Arkansas's already kind of been there and done that. And they've got Mississippi State as one of their two road games. They should be able to beat Mississippi State. And then Missouri, we'll see how that goes. But right now, Missouri's not nearly as good as I thought they'd be. Yeah. I mean, not just that they got beat by A&M and got waxed, but they barely beat Vanderbilt, who's probably a lot better than I thought they'd be, better than everybody thought they'd be.
Better than Alabama thought they were going to be.
Well, yeah. Vanderbilt, I was talking to an I was walking to my car Saturday night with an Alabama reporter. Tennessee reporter. And we were talking about that. He said Vanderbilt's in the same boat that Arkansas's in. They're two plays away from being 6-0. Mm-hmm. That sounds crazy to say that about Vanderbilt, yeah. You know. But he said they're two plays away from being 6-0.
Well,
I'll get these teams straightened out after a while. I'm naming teams. I mean, I'm going through the alphabet here, naming the wrong team. But, yeah, Vanderbilt's okay. Two plays away from being 6-0. Yeah. Who would have thought that?
Yeah. Tony?
Well, to me, the most impressive thing was Arkansas. They're up 3-0 at halftime. They probably should be up a lot more than that. And then they come out, and Tennessee hits them in the mouth a couple of times with a couple of touchdowns. And normally, the Arkansas teams I've seen would have just laid down there, mm-hmm. and Tennessee would have scored 28 or 35, and it would have been over. But that's not what happened.
No. And
that's what I was talking about with diversity. They faced it. They're getting down 14-3, and then Taylen Green getting hurt. And he's right. In the past, even last year, Arkansas would have folded like a cheap tent when they got down 14-3. They lost all the momentum. Yeah, that game, Jerry and I were sitting in the press box talking Saturday night, and we talked about that. At the halftime, it's 3-0. It seemed like the LSU game last year. If you remember, Arkansas dominated the first half and scored 6 points. And that seemed like that brought back memories of that game Saturday night. I'm sitting there thinking they had a chance to put Tennessee probably away. And by no means did they. And then when Tennessee comes out, last year Arkansas kind of folded against LSU. But there wasn't any folding Saturday night. LSU game brought back – that haunted me, that LSU game did with Tennessee. But Arkansas responded to the adversity, and they won. And it wasn't – I think, though, coming back from down 14-3 – I think will help them down the road because they're going to be some chance. They're going to be trailing. They're not going to be like Tennessee was coming to the game where they never trailed. Arkansas is going to trail some in these upcoming games, probably LSU. They're going to trail at some point. But I think now they know, hey, it doesn't have to be perfect for us to come back. We could lose our quarterback. We can, you know, tailback can be banged up. But we can still come back and win this game. We did it. And so I think that was really huge, man. That probably was the biggest thing out of that game was they faced adversity and still found a way to win against a very good football team.
Yeah, and like you said, got a tough schedule, but looking forward to it. Moving on now a little bit to talk about recruiting some, I kind of would like your take on NIL in general, not specifically. I mean, you can be as specific as you want mm-hmm. to, but just how NIL factors into the recruitment process. You know, you have, and I'm going to use them for an example. We played Little Rock Parkview who have 8 D1
two commitments. Kids going to Arkansas.
Yeah, two kids going to Arkansas, and you can talk about them specifically if you want to, but you know, when they say they've got that, money's part of that commitment.
Yeah.
When they commit to, you know, Arkansas, we'll say they've gotten a deal to get some kind of money, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
yeah.
could you kind of tell us how that works now?
Right. Right now, Arkansas has about 30 or 40 players making $140,000 or more and are still in the bottom third of the SEC in that regard. Hmm. Arkansas has 30 or 40 players making $140,000 or more. Taylen Green's going to make more than that, but they've got that many players making $140,000 or more and are still in the bottom third of the SEC. So that tells there's a lot of money being thrown around. It's kind of frustrating. Like, used to a kid... Let's say, well, you're talking about Parkview. You know, those kids grew up, most of them grew up wanting to play for the Razorbacks. You know, now it's the highest bidder. You know, O'Marion Robinson, the safety down there, he's their top prospect out of that bunch according to the ratings. And, you know, I know Arkansas had a very generous offer to him, but Oregon and OU topped him, you know. But anymore, it's not just about who you grew up rooting for. It's about money. I mean, there's a lot of kids – grew up in Arkansas, wanted to play for the Hogs, but this money has changed them. And I don't know. I NIL is here to stay, I think, but it needed to come in with rules, not make it the Wild Wild West, which it came in. That's what it was. It was just the Wild Wild West, and they needed to make rules. You know, I mean, even the pro teams like the NBA, the NFL, Major League, they have salary caps. This came in with no salary cap, you know. And eventually, of course, you've got millionaires and billionaires funneling this money to these players, but what point do they say, hey, you know, what am I getting out of this, you know?
Well, you look at the Salka kid at the UNLV. He started the season, and now he has quit.
Yeah.
And depending on who you believe, either UNLV didn't fulfill all their obligations to him, or he got, hey, we're having a pretty good year. I'm having a pretty good year. I want more money.
Yeah.
And how much of that are you going to run into in the future?
Well, if you don't have any kind of oversight on it, that's
exactly right.
I mean, yeah.
And that can happen at any school. You know, it's easy to kind of scoff at UNLV. But we asked Sam Pittman about that Monday when that came out that morning, I think it was. And that afternoon, we asked Sam at our noon press conference, and he said, I didn't ask him, but some reporter did, but he said, yeah, it can happen to anybody, you know, any school. And it's a concern, and we're worried about that. And, you know, I've been told that if a check's late, there's some of the players want to threaten to not lift that day or not go to practice or something at Arkansas. And you can change Arkansas to LSU, Tennessee, Michigan, any school. It's all the same. It's so much of, you know, money is great. But the love of money, we know what that's called in the Bible. And, I mean, it's really – people change. Jerry and I talked about it on the way down this morning. You just can't trust people over money. I mean, it's you know, money changes people. I've seen families – I have absolutely seen families tore apart over money.
Sure.
I've had good families, good people, and they've been torn apart when, say, a parent dies. My aunt did that to my mother. My grandmother died, and the grandfather died earlier, but when my grandmother died, my aunt was like a vulture, wanting the money, the house, you know, and, you know, it's like, God, people, it's money. It's not, but I've just seen good families torn apart over that greed.
Yeah, and I think one of the things we talked to Chuck Barrett about this last year when we got the opportunity to interview him, one of the things he said is, what you got to realize is, you know, a lot of these kids, that's the most money they're ever going to make.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And if they don't have somebody helping them to manage this money and to take care of it, basically they're going to blow it all while they're getting it, and they're not going to have anything, and they're going to expect that from wherever they go. And it's just not out there in the real world.
Sam Pittman has told some of the kids, I do know this for a fact, I got this from the kids, that he has told some of the kids, we're going to give you X amount of money up front. We're going to give you something each month. This is after you sign. When you enroll here, we're going to give you, let's say $10,000 a month.
Yeah.
But we're going to put $5,000 of that into a saving for you. And you're going to be mad when we do it, but you're going to be happy one day that we did that for you. Sam Pittman's actually told kids that we're going to invest half of that. We're going to put that in savings for you for later on. And you're going to be mad when we do it. You know, they want the $10,000, but, and whether it's $20,000, whatever, we're going to put half of it into a savings, and you'll be mad when we do it, but you're going to be glad eventually that we did that for you.
But the issue with that is, and maybe I don't misunderstand it, but NIL is really not a school. It's separate from the school, right?
Well, it is.
You know, you got
it's supposed to be, but you know, what's happened was, it's actually supposed to be a reimbursement for your name, image, and likeness, but it's turned into pay for play.
Yeah.
If people tell you it's not pay for play, bull. It is pay for play. That's exactly what it is. Now, I'm not saying there's not some name, image, and likeness stuff, but it's pay for play now. It's, you come to our school, we're going to give you $1 million. We're going to give you $500,000. Sure. It's pay for play. It's not. Name your name, image, and likeness is not a $1 million project for a kid that's a quarterback at a small school. It's just not. It's pay for play, and it's what they can argue. I had a guy from Little Rock argue that with me. He said, You're calling it pay for play, and he said, you're so far off. And I said, no, I'm not off. I promise you, I'm not off. I said, you're not going to convince me that these schools are not paying these kids to play football and calling it under the disguise of name, image, and likeness. They're paying them to play. And let's just call it what it is. I said, look, I don't have a dog in this fight. I don't care if the kids get money. I don't care. I don't, you know, it doesn't matter what I think anyway. Hmm. It doesn't matter if I like it or not. It doesn't matter. It's here. But I said, it should have been put in with rules because this guy was pro player all the way. You know, he's really just, you know, I said, it should have been put in with rules. Well, you know, and I'm not against players getting paid, but look, they've been getting paid for years. People getting new cars, they've been getting, you know, I mean, I went to a recruit's house one time, and they had a dirt floor, basketball recruit over in Oklahoma. He had a dirt floor in his house. Go back a few months later, he barely would speak to me. And, you know, one school in Oklahoma had taken care of, it wasn't the Sooners either, one school had taken care of, they had all brand new furniture, brand new floor. Wasn't no dirt floor then. And, you know, he signed with that school, but at first it was Arkansas. I love Arkansas. Go back in his house a couple of years later, when he's older, getting ready to sign, and it was completely different. You knew then Arkansas had no chance to take care of it. So they've been getting players have been getting paid, recruits have been getting paid for years, but it's just,
it's legal now.
It's legal now, yeah. And that's one of the reasons some of these coaches are getting out of the business, because they were paying them, and now they got competition for that.
You know, my wife loves a TV show called The Haves and the Have-Nots, and that kind of defines the college football world now.
Yeah.
Would you consider an Arkansas a have or a have-not, or somewhere in between?
Well, you're talking about football? Or, yeah. Because basketball, there's certainly a have, but football right now.
I wonder about that investment and how it even affects football.
Well, yeah, you've got to wonder. I think right now Arkansas is kind of on the border. Probably have to lean towards a have-not, but I think they're going to get there. And the biggest thing is, that's where the Tennessee game, you asked me to start this thing off, what the Tennessee game had an impact. And I know I'm bouncing around on you, but that's where very many wins like that, and people will start opening up the pocketbooks a little bit more, because they're tired of investing, watching a team lose in the last 2 or 3 minutes of the game. And, you know, but I probably has not right now, but I think they can be. And I think they will get there, because Arkansas is still the main school in the state of Arkansas. I don't say they're the only school. I recognize Arkansas State, and I went to Henderson myself. I recognize that. But Arkansas is the SEC school in this state. I think one thing about Arkansas, though, it's got a lot of people that got money, but they don't want to give if they don't get their way. Like, if Tyson didn't give money that much. He didn't give that much till Calipari come. You know, that was his man. Mm-hmm. Some of these guys have got money, but they don't want to pay till you get their player. I mean, I know some people like that that have threatened, you know, if they would hire Gus, or if they would hire Bush Davis, or they'd hire this guy, they would pay. But if they don't, they're not going to give money. But I think eventually, you know, if you're not going to, you know, you could fire coaches right and left and run Sam off and get this. But if you don't invest, like I said, it's going to cost money, because, like I said, they got a bunch of players getting paid right now, and they're still in the bottom third of the SEC.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
No.
I didn't mean to.
No.
One of the things that concerns me, and we talked about this on our podcast before, is the fact that I firmly believe, and it may be 10 years, I think it's going to be sooner than that you're going to see the top football schools break off and have their own. They're going to break off from the NCAA, and they're going to be separate from that. And depending on how many there are, yeah, I could see Arkansas not being included in that. And I think that there's a if you go 48, we're probably in barely. Yeah. If you go 32, we're not going to make it. Yeah. And so that's going to change the landscape of football. Yeah. All across the country, but when you look at Arkansas, I think what that's going to do for Arkansas is it's going to, you know, if we're in that, it's a big deal. If we're out of it, we drop down a tier, and you know, there's probably going to be three tiers of schools when you look at Division I football. You're going to have these schools up here that are paying players like pros, and then you're going to have another level of schools that are going to be paying mid-level money, and then you're going to have some down that are still basically paying room and board, maybe a little bit of living expenses.
Right.
And you know, right, that's how I see what this is going to, because here's the deal with me is, you know, SEC, since we've been in it in 1992, they divvied out all the money that whoever wins evenly.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, at some point in time, when this NIL stuff started, and when it becomes more of a school thing, as it will, I believe, as they organize and do it, Alabama's going to say, why am I giving Vanderbilt my money?
Mm-hmm.
when they can keep that money and pay their players more to get better players. And that, and that's when I think that we're going to run into a big, you know, but, a different scenario. I mean, I'm not going to say it's better or worse. It's just going to be different.
I think they probably will. But I think Arkansas will be taken care of because the SEC and Big Ten are probably going to take care of most of their schools. Those are the two – that's the two conferences driving this thing right now. They're in the driver's seat. They're even – talking about some stuff right now between the SEC and Big Ten. But Arkansas's, when you talk about athletic programs, Arkansas's really pretty good. See, that's the thing with basketball and baseball and soccer's number one, or they were. I think they got, well, I know they got beat this week by Mississippi State, who's number seven, but they were number one. Right now, football, it was lagging behind. I think they're back a little bit now. Girls basketball is way down. They have no NIL money at all. That's why Mike went and got all these foreign players, because there's no NIL money, and they don't – foreign guy, girls can't take money from NIL, so that's one reason they did that. But but I think Arkansas will always be taken care of because they're in the SEC, and I may be naive on that. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's the overall athletic program, because they're still – but I think Arkansas is going to get that football program back. I don't know that Sam Pittman's the guy to do it. Don't know that he's not. But I think Arkansas is going to be close enough that if they make the right hire when Sam does leave, if they make the right hire, I think you'll see some people ain't going money. And I think money in Arkansas.
Well, that's the thing about it. You talk about Sam, you're talking about the wrong Sam. It's Sam Walton's family that's going to make the difference in whether Arkansas football becomes great again, because we got to have Walton's money. And from what I understand, y'all know more about this than I do, but from what I understand, they send more money to Missouri than they do Arkansas. Yeah. And so that's an issue. And until we get that money, and you talk about the next coach, and you know, my thought is, you know, and I knew somebody was going to do it, and I'm glad that Arkansas was finally first in something. And what we're first in is going out and hiring the coach we want, paying him whatever it takes, and then giving him all the money so he can get all the players he wants. And you know, and it takes money to do that, and Johnny Tyson was willing to do that with Calipari. Now, are we going to be willing to do that with football? Because that's what it's going to take.
Yeah, it's a different investment. You're talking 12 or 15 players in basketball. You're talking 80.
Yeah,
in football.
But you still that. But in order for Arkansas to make that jump up, that's what's going to have to happen.
It's going to happen.
Because, you know, the deal is now, you know, just take Omarion Robinson, for example. Mm-hmm. And I'm not picking on the kid. I don't know him. He's a good player. But you take him, you know, 10 years ago, he was automatic to Arkansas, probably.
Yeah.
You know, now he's going to go where he can get the most money, and it's the same thing with all these other players, because, you know, used to you wanted to go where your parents could watch you play. Mm-hmm. You wanted to go where, you know, you were closer and you were on TV. You know, every football game's on TV now.
Right.
And the second thing is if they pay me enough money, I'll fly my parents to all the football games, and you don't have any problems with that. And, you know, so I think that we've taken out all that equation. So, yeah, you see kids going to California or Maine. They'll go anywhere.
Well, and in that, too, is the transfer portal. You can basically play for four or five different teams in four or five different years. And you can sign a bunch of one-year deals and then put yourself up on the auction block again.
Yeah.
I think that's where the rules should come in. They've made it too easy for kids to transfer. They should be allowed to transfer. But I think you can transfer one time. They had this right, and then they caved in. They get the first transfer. If you're a grad transfer, you can transfer whenever you graduated. Second, if they allowed an undergraduate one transfer, and then after that he had to still sit out a year, and then they caved in on that threat of a lawsuit. They should have kept that. But I think what's going to happen, though, one thing that's hurt Arkansas in recruiting, but beyond the money, is schools use this, Sam Pittman's going to get fired, and the more games he wins, I do know for a fact, let's take Carius Kern from Marion, number one player in the state, offensive, defensive lineman at Marion. Arkansas is going to put a letter of intent in front of him in December. And, you know, and if Sam, let's say he goes 8-4, that's what I predict. Let's say he goes 8-4, 9-3. Arkansas can look this kid in the eye and say, we're not, they're not firing Sam Pittman. And this kid was committed to Arkansas two or three times along the way, and then he committed to LSU. But I think if you can go and tell these kids, hey, Sam's not getting fired, I think you may see some changes made eventually. Because, look, a guy like Kerryus Kern, Aaron Robinson, they're going to get paid no matter where they go.
That's right.
But at the end of the day, and I know one kid that left the state last year and went to Missouri that's already regretted his decision. He's called Arkansas three or four times trying to get back here. They find out there's more about it than money. You've got to be careful because there's more about it than money. You've got. It sounds good at the time. You know, hey, Missouri's giving me, and I'm throwing this out there, Missouri's giving me $200,000. Arkansas offered $100,000. But you've got to figure out in the long run, you get there, it's way beyond the money, you know. And if you're a smart kid at 18, 19 years old, $100,000 is more than most kids at that age ever had, you know, or $200,000. So, but some of these kids are finding out that there's more to it than money. And you've got to be smart with that. And that's where I think Arkansas may benefit. If they win, it goes back to your still your first question about Tennessee victory. It goes back to this. They can, honestly, if Arkansas builds off that, they've got to build off that, because if you lose to LSU, you start losing again, it all goes out the window. It was a fluke to beat Tennessee, they'll say. But if you win, this is a chance for Arkansas to really build on that and go here in November and tell these schools, these recruits, particular recruits, we're not firing Sam Pittman. And see if one or two, all it takes is one or two. If Kerryus Kern or Marion Robinson change their mind, that's huge.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's going to be huge. And Arkansas is going to put a letter of intent in front of both those kids. The thing about Kern is, He's the number one player, and he's a big-time player, man. From Marion, he's committed to LSU. He even told me when he was at Arkansas that weekend, he told me, I'm not visiting LSU, I'm going to cancel it. Well, then he went ahead and took the visit, but his coaches, high school coaches from Alabama and wanted him to take the visit, said he told him he would. You know, but Arkansas's contention with that is, Where were you at when he told Arkansas two or three times he was committed, you know? Now you're wanting to keep his word to LSU, but where were you when he said, I'm committed to Arkansas two or three times? Mm-hmm. So, but that's what they're fighting on some of this deal. But I still think they might get back in on it. But if Kern or Robinson, either one of those kids, some of those, either one of them flipped at the end of the deal, it could be huge for Arkansas. You know, they're trying to get back in on Logan Schramm, big offensive lineman out of Bernie, Texas, who committed to TCU. Arkansas, you know, they're not giving up on these kids just because. And on the same token, kids, schools are not giving up on the kids that's committed to Arkansas either.
Right.
So, I mean, it works both ways. You may try to steal a Kerryus Kern or, you know, Marion Robinson or the offensive, no, you know, but they're trying to steal your kids too. Texas trying to steal Caleb Bell. So we'll see where all this leads. But yeah, it's about a lot about the Bucks, man. It, money talks, and it's, and unfortunately, that's what college football is, what I guess college sports has become, a lot about the money. But I've talked to, and the same person I told you that argued with me about pay for play and Little Rock, he told me, he said, these kids have got to learn there's more about making decisions than money. The guy is smart about it. In that sense, he said, they've got to learn there's more about, it's more than just who's paying me the most money. It's got to be more than that. And he's a Razorback fan deep down. And you know, and he knows that some of these kids are making a mistake by just blowing off Arkansas and going to these schools simply because they're offering more money. I mean, you're 18 years old, 19 years old, or 17. You're getting all this money, you know. If you're wise with it, you'll be smart with it. Most of them are not. You give me that much money when I was 18 years old, I'd been an idiot, you know. And so, I mean, you know, and a lot of these kids are.
You know what I'd been? I'd been an idiot with money.
Yeah. Well, that's the, yeah. And that's the thing. A lot of these kids don't have the home life and the guidance from their parents. The ones that do will probably be okay with it. But the ones that don't are going to buy jewelry, new cars. You know, we were talking about on the way down here this morning, guys like Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Shaq. Some of these guys got probably 90 cents of the first dollar they ever made. Mm-hmm. But then there's other guys on the token on the other side of the coin that spend it all on jewelry and cars and houses and whatever, and don't have a dime now. And they're, you know, and they're broke, and they made millions.
Yeah. So Otis, in the age of NIL and the transfer portal, when are you locked into a school? When the ink dries on the contract you sign?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what Arkansas has told these kids. When you sign in December or whenever you sign, some of them, when you sign the letter of intent, we will start paying you the money. And because you can't do it before then, because, man, I remember a school in the SEC, Southwest Conference, the old Southwest Conference, gave a kid a new car before signing date. And he drove that new car. It's like, I'm not signing with your school. And what were they going to do about it? You know, they gave the kids a new car. He drives off and flips them the finger and goes on. You know, there's nothing they can do about it. You know, what are they going to say? Oh, we gave that kid a new car. You know, we gave him a new car. You know? Yeah. You know, I mean, that's what happens. So you got to be smart with it. You can't commit yourself too early.
Well, you know, would be interested in you talking just for a minute about maybe the top five recruits that Arkansas's either on or have committed to the Razorbacks and what your thoughts are on them.
I think, you know, I mean, obviously Tavian Wallace is the linebacker out of Georgia. Everybody thought he's going to Florida State, and he came to Arkansas for one reason, Travis Williams. Travis committed his older brother, who's in the NFL now. Travis committed his older brother when he was at Auburn, I believe it was. But anyway, Tavian came to Arkansas because of Travis. But Tavian was here Saturday night and watched that game. Tavian Wallace is a linebacker. It's really good. Grayson Wilson's a quarterback out of Conway that played at CAC. Here's Grayson, was an All-State baseball, All-State basketball, and All-State football player. You know, he's a three-sport great. And here's the thing that impressed me about Grayson more than anything else. He's got a lot of offers since he committed to Arkansas, a bunch of offers. And he hasn't reported any of them. And I asked him why. He said, because I'm committed to Arkansas. I'm not interested in look. And in this day of look at me, look at me, look at me, that's refreshing to see a kid with that attitude.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I really like the receiver out of Warren, Antonio Jordan. I mean, that kid's another kid that went to no camps, doesn't even have a huddle video, highlight video, doesn't even have one. He said, I was just waiting. Arkansas offered me, that's where I was going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's throwback to the old school days, you know. But there's some still out there like that, but this kid's 6'6 receiver, can run like a deer. I really like him, you know. And then, you know, they've just got all kinds of players like that where you can look up and you think, man, this guy's going to be great or that guy's going to be great. But I still like the Arkansas kids. I really enjoy seeing them go to Arkansas because I followed them. But you know, here's the deal with the transfer portal, too, is why you've got to be good to a kid you try to recruit and you don't get him. You don't want to burn bridges because you may get him the next time around.
Mm-hmm.
You may get him in 1 year. It may be 2 years, but you may get that kid. You're going to get probably, in all likelihood, let's be honest, when you miss out on a recruit, you're probably going to get another chance at him at some point. Whether it's 1 year, 2 years, 3 years down the road, you're going to probably, if you want the kid, Sam's big about it. If they're from Arkansas and they don't come here, he doesn't really care about going after him in the second time. Now, like Anthony Switzer was from Marion, but he didn't get offered by Arkansas. Sam went after him because he didn't have the opportunity to come to Arkansas the first time.
Yeah.
But some of the kids that turn down Arkansas and go elsewhere, Sam's really not interested in them the next time. We can argue whether that's right or wrong. I don't really like it, to be honest with you, but that's Sam's opinion. That's his philosophy. And he's going to stick to it. And, I mean, I tried to get him to take Trey Norwood, the kid from Northside that went to A&M, left there after a year. He knew he made a mistake. But Sam didn't want him. So he's at Missouri now.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know the kid I was talking about earlier that's at Missouri that's called Arkansas wanting to come back home. I don't know if Sam will take him. If he goes by the way he's been doing, he probably won't. And I don't like that. I think it's a mistake, but I'll say this for Sam. He's got philosophies. He's got personal philosophies, and he's going to stick to it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if they're a four-star receiver, two-star linebacker, or what. You know, Switzer is probably a two-star linebacker or defensive back at Marion, or unrated, but he played at Arkansas State and then Utah State, and Sam liked him enough to offer him, you know, this time around. But if they turned down Arkansas for the first time, but there's been some kids that turned down Arkansas, but, you know, it's kind of his philosophy, and he's going to stick to it. And I admire anybody that has as long as they don't waver from it, you know, and he hasn't wavered from that. So I like that. So we'll see where that leads with somebody like a Courtney Crutchfield from Pine Bluff. It's a Missouri. We'll see where that leads with him later on.
What about, you know, one of the things I think that's really improved the Razorback team this year is the play of the offensive line.
Yeah.
And I was, what about recruiting for linemen?
Yeah. They've done well there. They've got a bunch. They've really done well on the offensive line and defensive line. And, they've signed, or they haven't signed, they've committed a bunch of kids, and they'll get a few more out of the portal. But Blake Cherry called me yesterday morning about 10 o'clock. He was excited. He got a touchdown Friday night. I told him, I know it, big guy. I was watching you play. I was watching the game on TV Friday night. I was waiting for the Lakers to come on. I'm home, but I watched some station out of Tulsa, I guess it was. I know the station. I was flipping through the channel and said high school football. It was a Wausau and Tulsa Union. And, they threw a pass to Blake, and it was his birthday. And the fans sang happy birthday to him after the touchdown catch. But he's 6'6", 6'6", 295 pounds, big, nearly a four-star. He's a three-star out of a Wausau, but he's almost a four-star. You got big kids out of Florida, you know, 6'6", 300. They've really done well there. And in the defensive line, they've gotten a lot of kids. I tell you, the player I like a lot is Colton Yarbrough, 2026 kid Durant, 2026 Colton Yarbrough, defensive end. Yeah, he's really good, man. And, you talk about these kids that's Kevin Otis is his name. I guess with Kevin McPherson, Otis Kirk, he was destined to be a Hog, but he jumped in there, you know. Defensive tackle. He was one of the two kids that I hinted about a few months ago. Arkansas was getting ready to get two kids that would move the needle, and he was one of them. And so that was really huge,
Joined now by Jerry Meadows, if I got that right.
Yes, sir.
And you're with Hogville too, right?
Yes, sir.
And we appreciate you coming in too, and just listen to listen to what Otis has said about recruits, and I know you're on the recruit. You're on them too. You got anything additional to talk about other than what Otis was saying there?
Otis is he's got a lot more information than I have. We have got this young guy from Oklahoma. He was the number one recruit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember the town. We watched him play, and every play that Gravett ran, they ran away from him. It didn't matter. And he would line up on one side, line up on the other, and they would not want to run to that young man because he's going to be – he is a junior. He's 6'6", 245 pounds, and just runs like a gazelle.
Yeah.
And but Otis can tell you who he is. The one thing that you guys have been discussing that has been a real concern for me is the welfare of these college players. We're not taking the NIL to the point that how is this affecting their life, their immediate life, their future? Who's looking out to protect them? Not only that, we're not making it a level playing field because the Alabamas, the Ohio States, the Texases, the UCLAs, those teams, what can they do? They can sit there and offer a young man right now just about anything. But how does that affect Northwestern? How does that affect Syracuse? You know, I mean, you got to really want to play football to play in Syracuse because, you know, it's cold. And so how are we going to balance that? How are we going to make it a level playing field? And I believe what you do is you reward a player that is, say, he signed a major deal in NIL, but it's going to have to be for 4 years.
Yeah.
And based upon his commitment to those 4 years, the university lives up to that. But if he decides he wants to go into the portal, that changes everything. And it it should also affect, you know, the way the university is taking care of their players and the way that these young teenagers are reacting to temptation. You know, you've got to somehow find some balance, because it's like Otis said, you gave me $100,000 when I was 19 years old.
Yeah.
In 30 days.
How about $10,000?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, goodness sakes, it would have been gone.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere I told Otis, I said, someone needs to come up to where they want to help the kids financially, and it's all about the kids. It's nothing about them. So what they're going to do is they're going to say, I'm going to charge you 1% my fee.
Right.
I'm going to get 99% is going to go to you because I want to protect you. Now, being able to do that, that means you can't have all this money.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, that's the thing about it is, even with what Otis was talking about earlier about the, I don't know how many kids he said, 40, 50, making $140,000 at Arkansas, you know, for a lot of those kids, that may be the most money they ever make because, you know, the average salary in Arkansas is less than that, for sure.
It is.
And, you know, and so you go make, you know, you go from making 140 down to 80 or 50 or 60 or whatever the number is, you know, you just cut it in half. Let's just say you make $70,000. How do you deal with that as a 22-year-old recently graduated college student that you know is you know they don't know what to do? And so I think the most important thing about all this NIL stuff is making sure that these kids have somebody giving them the advice they need to invest and to make this something, you know, a once in a lifetime opportunity last. And, you know, because, you know, here's the deal is, I'll tell you something, you know, I'm not going to tell you I never play the lottery. I do play it every once in a while. But, you know, I've gotten to the point now where if it's under $100 million, I don't even bother with it. You know, and you know, that's really crazy because it's like $10 million is not going to change my life. You know, but you know, and I think that's kind of the way they are. You know, when you make so much money, you don't realize that these lower amounts can still be difference makers if you invest it and use it wisely and don't just blow it all on cars and clothes.
I think that universities that would also work within the NIL to be able to provide some type of guidance, you know, financial counseling, financial instruction, financial courses that these students had to take. You need to learn to live with money. If you don't learn to live with money, the only thing that you can do is listen to the voice of money. Spend me.
Right. That's right. That's right. Now, I appreciate your comments on that because I think it's very important. But you know, again, on the other side, I was watching you over there on the side when I was talking about Walmart and about how I think that they're probably the most important piece to the puzzle for Razorback football going forward. I'm not talking about the other sports. One of the things that interests me, I watched, you know, we've got amazing other sports. You know, they brought out the at the football game Saturday, brought out the track team. And you know, they got a polite round of applause. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But it wasn't anything like what they really deserve for what they've done.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I mean, they ought to be cheering where you couldn't hear yourself, you know, for what they've done. But those sports, while I'm glad we're good in them, they don't bring home the bacon.
No, they don't.
It's football, basically. And that's where, and so in order to do that, we've got to be able to compete. So we've got to be able to convince the players. And when I talk about players, I'm talking about the corporations in Arkansas to be a big part of this NIL for Arkansas to move forward. And I think, you know, I think Johnny Tyson, he showed what he was going to do. And, you know, I think we've got a couple other ones that, you know, and most of them, you know, we've got some in Little Rock, but and we also have a couple in Northwest Arkansas, but they're going to have to step up too. We're going to have to convince them that it's to their benefit to support Arkansas and what they're doing instead of somewhere else.
If Arkansas is successful and they are become relevant in the SEC, the whole Northwest part of Arkansas is going to prosper from that.
Yeah.
It's an investment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a bad investment because I'm old enough to remember the 60s and the 70s, and we were definitely relevant for at least 17 years, every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had so many of these young folks sit there and say, well, we're just Arkansas. And it makes me want to pull my hair out because I know that's not the way it was.
No.
It's the way it's been, but it's not who we are.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think that we need to make sure that we make kids understand that again, that we can be relevant, and that's on a national level, not just – and, you know, you see that in other sports. You know, it's just we got to do it in football too. And I think it's possible. I just think it's going to take some money.
But it's going to take some regulations so that everyone has a fair chance, like Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, amazing. That quarterback they have right now is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to have the same rules, the same parameters that Alabama or LSU or Texas or any of the rest of the Southwest Conference, to where they can compete for the best players equally.
Mm-hmm.
And of course if they do that, then what happens is, you know, you want these young men and young women to graduate. You want them to get their degree. So the more that they stay with the school, I think it would be in their best interest to continue to invest in them. But how to go about doing that, that's out of my pay grade.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think, you know, it's easier for me to talk about basketball, so we'll talk, because there's not as many players.
Sure.
But, you know, even when Musselman was here, I mean, essentially his last year, I mean, his team was a whole new team. Oh, there's two or three.
Right.
But basically he had a whole new team, you know, and he went from trying to get freshmen that were difference makers to getting graduate players and seniors, and all they were looking for was trying to get an NBA contract, and so they didn't play together as a team. Thus, he didn't have as good a season. At least that's my look on it. And I think that's the thing about what we've got to make it where when they commit, you know, there's a commitment level there that they can stay. But you know, that's probably – we could probably sit here and talk about NIL till the cows came home, and it wouldn't – we wouldn't figure it out because it's so complicated. And, you know, and that's why I said what I said earlier about I think there's going to be another level up here that breaks off in football from you know, what I'm going to call the elite, the Texas, the Alabama, the Georgia, the USC, you know, those teams are going to be some teams that are going to separate themselves because they can see a way for them to get more money, and when they get more money, they can get better NIL pay, they can get better players, or that's the way they think.
Well, if they go to a system like that, then, you know, are they still going to be playing the second tier, third tier level teams? For me, if I'm second tier level, why do I want to play you? You know, yeah.
It's, money.
It's going to be money. But you got to also understand that as they begin, if they begin to build this pyramid to where it's just us 12 and no more, then they're going to have to be playing one another. How many people are going to get hurt whenever these elite players are playing for, and now the money is really big.
Yeah.
Because money is a terrible beast, and it never loses an appetite.
Yeah.
And my dad told me a long time ago, son, if it's not broke, don't try to fix it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I may be wrong, but it's just where I see it headed. And if it, you know, I think it's going to be to the detriment of college football if it does.
You see it in the financial world.
Yeah.
There's the elite banking system, and there are now these banks that are too big to fail. Are we going to have football teams too big to fail?
Yeah. Yeah, it could be the same thing. Well, listen, anything else you guys got before we let you go? I know y'all got things to do, and we appreciate Otis, you and Jerry both for coming on and talking to us.
Just that $140,000 you guys were talking about, that, you know, there's families, pretty well-off family. I mean, decent salaried people, both the man and the wife working, they don't make $140,000 a year.
That's right.
If you think about that, there's families that don't make that.
That's right. That's
man and wife. So, I mean, it's a lot of money for these kids and how they take care of it. But if they've got a strong home life, but it's always good. They need people to manage it, to talk to them about it and teach them, you know. And sometimes you can talk to you, turn purple face, they're going to blow it, but you try not to. That's it for me.
Okay, well, I appreciate y'all coming on and giving us all this information about recruiting and NIL. Enjoy the conversation. Hope we can talk to you again soon. This has been the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air with a special edition with Jerry Meadows and Otis Kirk.